Let us pray. Lord God, give us your vision for your eternal life. Open our ears that we may hear your word, and open our mouths that we may proclaim the glory of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's reading from Revelation ends with the final words of Revelation. Today's reading ends with the final words of the entire Bible. These final words tell us who Jesus is. Assure us that he is coming again. And these final words tell us that we who desire God's kingdom through Christ will be showered with every blessing. Isn't this the gospel message in a nutshell? Revelation is a long story, a long vision. It's packed with imagery and action. And it's only natural to end a story with the moral of the story. In this case, the moral of the story is the gospel message. The Revelation of John was written at a time of upheaval in the Roman Empire, which led to some challenges in the growing but still fragile early church. Revelation is written as a letter to churches, sharing a unique, if spectacular, vision and a message from Jesus himself of hope and encouragement. I'm going to say later that we are always in need of a vision from the Holy Spirit and a message of hope and encouragement, but right now I'm going to take us down a bit of a rabbit trail. I'm going to put on my anthropologist hat, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the importance of stories and visions in our very ancient human past. To the best of scientific knowledge, stories have been an important part of being a human being for at least 40,000 years. That's a lot of zeros. Stories aren't just things we make up for the amusement of children, although they're that too. Stories are humanity's greatest invention that doesn't involve killing something. Stories use words to paint pictures of a world we do not see. Stories guide us to a place in our minds, and that allows us to take what was once unimaginable and make it real. Stories are shared among us. Visions are private. But stories can make visions universal. The great storytellers of very early humanity were people we might think of as shamans. Shamans were the earliest religious leaders among the earliest human beings. Shamans went into the spirit world, beyond the world we know, and they returned with visions and knowledge Shamans returned with wisdom and stories, and they returned with guidance for survival and for healing. They did this through a lot of study, through a lot of practice. They did this through trance states and were sometimes, rarely, assisted by psychedelic substances found in the natural world. As humans developed over many thousands of years, so did our religions. Humans came out of the Ice Ages and decided to start agriculture, which I'm grateful for. We built complex social systems, and we built cities. The great Abrahamic religions came out of these new, complex sociocultural realities. Notice that the religious leaders and prophets in our scriptures continue to tell stories and have visions and heal us. They did this through extensive study, through a lot of spiritual practice, and that sometimes led to trance states that included visions that were later written down in our scriptures. It's a long tradition of this. This is what's happening in Revelation. Revelation is not the first time we hear of visions. Revelation isn't just some strange book. It's definitely part of our Judeo-Christian tradition. By the way, just so we're clear here, there is zero evidence that psychedelic substances were used by either our Jewish or Christian past. Psychedelics are, frankly, and this is coming from an anthropologist here, quite rare. They make news, yes, but they are very rare in world religions. So I've taken us from 40,000 years ago up to here, the last book in the Bible that was written, a couple thousand years ago. And that's where the Bible ends. I think a lot of us think that there were no other visions or revelations or sacred stories that needed to be shared among the faithful after the back cover of the Bible is reached. And while it's true, a lot of what's been written afterwards is commentary, it's true. A lot of the ink that has been spilt over the last couple of thousand years, some of that does include visions and revelations and sacred stories. And we treasure those. We treasure them today and we share them as widely as we can. Julian of Norwich, Hildegard von Bingen, St. John of the Cross. There are several. And it's not just our venerable saints who share vivid insights drawn from rigorous spiritual practice and study. Every preacher of every sermon you've ever heard has sought with all of their might for the vision and message that the Spirit wants the church to hear. And that requires the same effort of those venerable saints that have gone before. long years of spiritual practice and training and study. Flashes of insight that pull together hours of scripture reading and written reflection. Not, however, the use of psychedelics, at least not any preacher I know. Study, practice, reflection, insights, sharing those insights, psychedelics. I've mentioned all of these things a few times. I've said everything but the hallucinogens are important for the building up of the church, for our teaching, for sharing a vision of hope, and for our healing. Just as Revelation was written, and just as every sermon is preached. This is the holy work that we do, and these are the reasons we do it, and this is the way the holy work is done. And not by just a few of us, but by all of us. Study, practice, reflection, insights, sharing those insights. We all do this. We do. And if we don't do it, we shouldn't be surprised when hurting people go elsewhere for their visions in healing. Open a newspaper or a magazine any week this year. What do you find? We find an increasing use of psychedelics to heal those suffering from a variety of ailments. Those suffering from severe depression, post-traumatic stress, hospice patients. These people are now sometimes treated with psilocybin mushrooms, LSD, ketamine, and DMT, which comes from the ayahuasca vine in Peru. If you've got problems and you need healing, you can go to a modern-day shaman and enter the spirit world using psychedelics, and you can find relief. You can find a vision to share with other hurting people, a vision to share with your therapist, and a vision to bring into your spiritual life. This isn't a part of our religious tradition, and it doesn't need to be. I'm really not suggesting that, honestly. At the same time, I'm really glad people are being healed. I'm thrilled. I love it when people are healed, when they're hurting, but I grieve that the church is surrounded by those so desperate for healing and vision and a spiritual life. People so desperate that they're turning to things far outside the traditions of the church. People so desperate, they will travel to Peru to vomit for 3 days while hallucinating. The church can and has provided healing and vision through the hope of Jesus. The church can and has shared this vision of hope with a hurting world. Why does it seem as though we're so ineffective lately? I think it's because right now we are also a fragile Christian church in a culture of incredible upheaval, just like the church was when Revelation was written. We've held on to the vision in Revelation for almost 2,000 years, and it's been a real comfort. Revelation assures us of where we are going and that Jesus leads us there. Revelation is our shared vision. But it's hard. Revelation is hard even for us to understand, and we've studied it. We've reflected on it. We've talked about it and we've prayed through it. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. Our reading from Revelation today are the last words of the Bible. But I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to suggest that Revelation is not the last word, but rather a launching point. What would happen if we, each and every one of us, especially the oldest of us, took our years of study, drew from our years of prayerful reflection, collected our insights, and shared our vision of God's holy kingdom with the world? We know that church is not a spectator sport. Here's one way we can do something different. We are the saints of the church. We don't have to just take our insights. This is not a consumer culture. We don't just take, we give. Let's consider giving, sharing those insights that have been given to us by the Spirit. And you do have insights gained from years of prayer and reflection. We all do. Your visions of God's glorious kingdom may not be quite as spectacular as the ones in Revelation. It's unlikely that the church, the entire church, we'll read your insights like we do the saints I mentioned above, Julian of Norwich, St. John of the Cross. But just because you probably won't set the world on fire doesn't mean you're off the hook. Your vision of God's kingdom can and will bring healing and comfort to those you share it with. Your vision of us all eternally living in the blessed forgiveness and eternal life of Jesus can and will heal and comfort and bring hope to this church and ultimately to a waiting and hurting world. What is your revelation? A hurting world is waiting to hear it. In Jesus' name. Amen.